Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, good morning. Happy Monday. It is Joe Beamer with you in for David Bellavia. Don't worry, Jimmy Stagliano still here, as usual, on the other side of the glass. Yep, it is a day that we are all too familiar with as Buffalo sport fans. And I kind of want to spend the first segment just breaking down the roller coaster of emotions that yesterday, even the days leading up, right? Now, you know me, I try to always be very positive, very optimistic. And I'm going to be honest with you right now. It sucks the Bills lost. It really does. You know, they were never in that game yesterday, which I guess helps get over it as the game's going on, but it sucks. I mean, you know, this time last year, actually a year ago today, was the 13 seconds game. And as much as that loss sucked, that one took the, you know, it really did just take everything out of you, because the Bills were 13 seconds away from hosting an AFC championship game. You felt like, well, this team is very close. I mean, they're going to do this next year. They made the adjustments in the offseason. They got Von Miller. And you really felt like this was the team. Like, this team is going to make a real run at the Super Bowl. And then what do we see this season? The Bills beat the Chiefs in the regular season again. Feeling very positive, feeling very good about this Buffalo team. Yes, there were some injuries. Losing Von Miller stunk. But you felt like this team still had the pieces to make a run at the Super Bowl, to make a run at least to get to the AFC Championship game for the first time in 2 years. And I don't know exactly when that feeling went away, but I'm going to tell you right now, you know, as obviously as excited as I was for yesterday, as excited as I was for potentially going to Atlanta for the AFC Championship game, I do think we have to be honest here. This team, something's felt off about this team over the last month. Now, yes, they've won, and they've been winning games. You know, beating the Jets by 8, beating the Dolphins by a field goal. Winning against the Bears, which, you know, the worst team in football, and stumbling till the end against the Patriots. Something just fell off about this team. And I don't know if it was since the Vikings loss. You know, the Vikings had a very good record, right? But if you ever saw the Vikings play, the game last week didn't surprise you when the Vikings lost to the Giants. You know, and it seems like ever since the Bills blew a big lead at home against the Vikings, yes, this team's been winning, beating sub teams that were at 500 or lower. And they were getting there, right? They were stacking up the wins. They were in contention for first place. But something just fell off. Something just felt like it wasn't there. And you could pretend that you know, it wasn't. You could pretend this is the team that you thought it was all season. You know, they sneaked by Miami last week. Again, by, you know, a game you don't feel overly confident about after leaving. But here they are, AFC division. And was I the only one in Buffalo that just felt like this team was going to rise to the occasion? Right? Last week against the Dolphins. Nowhere good, nowhere as good a team as the Bengals. But last week they fall behind after going up 17-0, by the way. They fall behind to the Dolphins. They come back and win. Now, again, the Dolphins are nowhere close to the talent level of the Bengals. But you did feel, okay, the Bills played good enough to win. They rose to the occasion, and they beat the Dolphins to get to the AFC divisional round. And maybe that was just, maybe the answer was last week. Heck, maybe the answer was the Vikings game all that long ago when they blew that lead at home. It seems like with me, I'm just telling you how I feel personally. I just was like, okay, you know, it was a wild card game at home. It's the playoffs. Anything can happen. They got a huge lead to the Dolphins, fell behind, found a way to win. All week, I thought they would take that momentum from the fourth quarter in the Dolphins game and get to this Bengals game. And yes, what were we talking about all week? Potentially going to Atlanta. I know myself and many other people booked flights to go to Atlanta. We made fun of the path I was going to take. But it seemed like we had all the faith that this Bills team was going to take their fourth quarter play against the Dolphins, who had a third string quarterback, and we're going to play just as well against the defending AFC champion Bengals. It just didn't happen. And, you know, obviously the excitement before the game, going around seeing people before the game was fun. The introductions, the team looked ready to play. Obviously, that would be really surprising if they didn't look ready to play. As soon as, I was about to say Cleveland, Cincinnati touched that football, was I the only one that said, this doesn't look good? Cincinnati went right down the field. I mean, right down the field. Barely challenged. All right, that's fine. Guess what? The Bills have an amazing offense. Let's go. Let's see what they can do. Three and out. All right. Maybe the defense has woken up, right? The Bengals, they're a first half team. The defense has now seen what they're going to do. Maybe the defense can tighten up and stop the Bengals here. Right down the field. Right down the field, 14-0. Now, obviously I stayed for the entire game, but I want to know, am I the only one that after it was 14-0, it didn't feel like when they went down to the Baltimore Ravens, right? When they fell behind the Baltimore Ravens, I still felt this team was in the game. And that game was on the road. When they went down 14-0 yesterday, I seriously thought to myself, the season's over. And I am not the person to think that. I'm the person who's putting scenarios together in their head. Okay, well, if they do this, if they can stop this. And I was doing a little bit of that, you know. Hey, can the Bills get within one before the half, get the ball back? Obviously, they didn't. They didn't get within one. And they came out just as flat in the second half. So, you know, to continue on what Brian was talking about, last year, there was a lot of promise. 13 seconds sucked, and it's going to be a part of Bill's history just as much as wide right. But there was, after wide right, there was promise with that team, right? I don't remember. I was too young, but from what I hear, no one was surprised that the Bills ended up back in the Super Bowl. After last year, no one was surprised the Bills were favorites to win the AFC. But after yesterday, after the end of this season, the way the season ended, and yes, on paper, there's a bunch of wins. On paper. But you watch those games. Is it just me, or did this team stop looking like AFC favorites after the Vikings game? And I know you're going to say, Joe, they won every game after the Vikings game until yesterday. But something was different about this team. And I'm telling you, going into this offseason, I just don't feel the same. I want to know where you stand right now on the Buffalo Bills, 803-0930, star 930. How you felt during the game yesterday. Tell me the emotion you felt. I'll let our friends down at WGR break down play-by-play. But where do you feel compared to last season? I think last season the loss hurt more because it was boom sudden. Yesterday we had the entire second half to kind of come to terms that this team wasn't going any further. And I want to know from you, when did you start having questions about this team? Now, in the next segment, I'm going to do a 180 and give you the optimistic view of the Buffalo Bills in 2023. And a lot of people are going to say, Joe, that's loser mentality. But that's what we call a tease. Next segment, I'm going to do a 180, and I'm going to talk positively and optimistically. I'm going to compare the Bills now to where the Bills were 10 years ago. But right now, when did you start feeling that this Bills team was not going to be AFC champions? And yesterday, emotionally, take me through the emotions of the game. 803-0930, star 930, John and Elma will kick us off this Monday morning. John, what was it for you?
Well, I noticed something throughout the whole season, and I think this applies in any sport. You know, the Bills won a lot of games ugly. They struggled to win enough games, and that's a bad sign. It's just a bad sign. They weren't kicking butt game after game after game after game. And I don't care what team it is, what sport it is, that's not a good sign.
No, John, you're right. I mean, ever since that Steelers game, every game was close. Every game was close, and they played some bad teams.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. John, how do you feel? I know it's early. It's a day removed from the game. But how do you feel about 2023? What needs to change with this team before September?
Well, you're going to get more receivers. The defense is definitely, as far as I'm concerned, not the number one defense in the NFL.
No.
And Joe Burrow's not going anywhere, and neither is Cincinnati.
You think since he's out of it?
They'll be around next year. They'll be around next year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to have to get through Kansas City, Cincinnati, and now an up-and-coming Jacksonville team for years to come.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, John, I appreciate the call, man. John and Elma, make some good points. I mean, look at early in the season. This team, 31-10 to a bad Rams team, 41-7 to a Titans team that, you know, was a game away from winning the division, lost in Miami, came back against the Ravens, 38-3 to a Steelers team that was one game removed from the playoffs, beat the Chiefs, beat the Packers, lost in New York, and then that comeback win from the Vikings. I really just feel this was a different team after that Vikings game. I really do. And where does this rank? I hate to be negative, but it's difficult to be positive. Like I said, next segment, I am going to try to be a little more positive. But where does this rank in Buffalo sports heartbreak? Again, I'm too young to remember the Super Bowls. Does this rank anywhere close to any of the Super Bowl seasons when it comes to heartbreak and disappointment? You know, does this rank... the closest thing I can remember is the Bills were, from the beginning of the season, talked about as the favorites in the AFC, right? Oh my gosh, they beat the Rams. Again, we didn't know how bad the Rams were at that point. They beat the Rams. Von Miller goes back to LA, beats his old team. This Buffalo Bills team is for real. And I'm not going to take away that in September they were for real. But, you know, for me, this is almost like the 06-07 Buffalo Sabre season, where they were the talk of the NHL, right? They had made that amazing run in the post-lockout year, going to the conference championship. Really should have beaten Carolina in Game 7, but we won't get into that. The next season, this is the year. You know, the Buffalo Sabres bring out those ugly jerseys. But this is the year that the Buffalo Sabres are going to make a run for the Stanley Cup. And that's all we heard throughout the NHL. What happens? The Sabres losing 5 games to the Ottawa Senators in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, again, that's a round further than the Bills got this year, but I do see a lot of similarities. You know, that Buffalo Sabres team won the President's Trophy, so they were the best team in the regular season in the NHL. The Bills, hey, could have been first place in the AFC, right? Second place in the AFC. So going into the playoffs, again, if you don't look at the games and you just look at the wins and losses, this team is playing as expected. This team is playing to where they felt, where, you know, the experts said the Buffalo Bills were going to play. And then fell apart. I would say for me, and again, I don't have the Super Bowl years to fall back on. I don't remember that. I was four the last time the Bills were in the Super Bowl. So for me, for my sports fandom here in Buffalo, and let's be honest, I've been through some very miserable Buffalo sports seasons. This season with the hype and the expectations ranks with the 06-07 Buffalo Sabres. I don't know if anyone agrees with that. If you can make a better comparison, again, if you were around for the Super Bowl years, if you were around for some of the, you know, other years, maybe there's a different season you can compare this to. But for me, with the expectations, and it's, you know, again, this is the third year in a row, the Bills making this playoff run, fourth year in a row in the playoffs. But it does feel like last season was that post-lockout season for the Sabres. And this was the year of the expectation. And just again, they just fell flat. And they just looked flat. They looked flat from the beginning. They looked flat last week. They put a lot of points up against a Dolphins team. You know, a game they should have won. A game they probably should have had taken care of by halftime. But let the Dolphins come back in. And I'm telling you, I'm just as guilty. Just as guilty. I was like, oh, they came back and won. You know, that game is that game. It's a division opponent, whatever. But maybe we should have taken that a little more seriously before we were talking about the AFC Championship. And as Brian said, the Bengals, you know, their players, their fans, their coaches, they really played up that. Look at Buffalo. They're already selling tickets in Atlanta. And it is kind of comical because the Bengals were also selling AFC Championship tickets for a potential game against the Jaguars. So it is, again, it's comical. It's comical they turn that into a rally. They turn that into something to really pump them up for this game. And what did the Bills do? Apparently nothing, because according to Matt Milano, they didn't have the momentum. They didn't have the energy going into the game. And you know, you hear this a lot in sports. You know, I'm a big baseball fan. And you always hear, well, so-and-so didn't have their best stuff, but they made it work. Now, I'm not an athlete, all right? I shaved my playoff beard yesterday, and let me tell you, I am the furthest thing from an athlete. I need to grow that beard back. It was really covering up the weight I had gained in my face. I'm the furthest thing from an athlete. But I'm thinking divisional playoffs, eventually at some point in that game, you're going to find the momentum. You're going to find the energy, right? Again, I don't want to speak as an athlete. I've never played at that level. I would never be able to play at that level. I've never been in the shape to play at that level. But I do feel eventually you would get to some point where you would say, okay, you know, this is divisional playoffs. Let's go. Let's get some momentum. Let's wake up. It just didn't seem to happen yesterday. 803-0930, star 930, that's the number to get on. I want to know from you, where does this rank in Buffalo sports disappointment? Look at the Bills, look at the Sabres. For those of you that remember the Buffalo Braves, rank this in disappointing seasons for Buffalo sports teams. And tell me the emotions you went through during the game yesterday, during the season. When did you feel the season was over? Are you like me looking back on it? Maybe the warning flag should have gone up after the Vikings game. But like I said, when we come back, I'm going to take your calls on all that. So line them up. But when we come back, I am going to take an optimistic look. I'm going to take a positive look. And someone's already, can you believe that someone's already bashing me on the text board for something I haven't said yet? But when I come back, I am going to ask you, put yourselves in your shoes 10 years ago, I think we'd be pretty freaking happy that the Bills have made the playoffs 4 years in a row. Five of the last 6 years. And I know people say that's a loser mentality. You know, this team's built to win. What are we doing? And maybe it is. But you also have to remember, the entire time I was in middle school, high school, college, my 20s, the Bills didn't make the playoffs. The Bills were a fun, you know, it was a fun team here in Buffalo, but they were irrelevant on the national stage. They played one Sunday night game on NBC in over a 10-year span. So, yeah, maybe it's a loser mentality, but maybe it's also the mentality of somebody who their entire time growing up was a diehard Bills fan, but outside of Buffalo, the Bills were one of the most irrelevant teams. I'll explain. I'll talk more. 803-0930, star 930 is your number to get on. Join us. It's Beamer and Frabella Villa. Thank you so much for joining me on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, welcome back. Beamer in for Bella Villa here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, some exciting news coming out of KeyBank Center this morning. And, you know, this might, for the final hour, kickstart one of my favorite discussions of all time. And that is when we talk about concerts. But Brooks and Dunn coming to KeyBank Center May 13th. Now, this is a question I pose to the WBEN audience. May 13th, that is a week before the due date of Baby Beamer. The question is, can I still go? Would May 13th be, would that be appropriate, or is that like when you're on call 24/7? I don't know. Someone's going to have to answer that on the text board, 803-0930. But Brooks and Dunn, May 13th, with opening act Scotty McCreery. What a concert. And how much fun will that be at KeyBank Center? A blast of the 90s. Boot, scoot, and boogie. Brooks and Dunn, back in Buffalo. So we might talk a little bit more about that in the final hour. But we're asking you, 803-0930, star 930. How are you feeling today? How are you feeling about the Bills after yesterday's just a game they were never in? Let's just be honest. It's a game they were never in. Now, I put everything out there. You know, I was brutally honest in the first segment. And I am still asking you at 803-0930, star 930. Where does this season, this Buffalo Bills season, where does it rank in Buffalo sports heartbreaks? I say it compares most to the 06-07 Sabres when they were expected to win the whole thing, go to the Stanley Cup, and they fizzled out in five games in the Eastern Conference Finals. 803-0930, star 930. Would love to know your answer to that. However, you know, I do have to be this guy. And you know, I got a lot of people disagreeing with this when I tweeted it yesterday, but I still stand by it. You know, a lot of people saying it's the loser mentality. But I do think we need to take a look at where this Buffalo Bills team was 10 years ago. I don't think that's so wrong to do. Now, I realize you only get so much of a window. But you know, this Bills team, 10 years ago, finished the season 6-10 and fourth in the AFC East. This year, the Buffalo Bills won the AFC East, finished second place in the AFC, and had a winning record. They finished the season 13-3. 14-4 if you count the playoff games. So, you know, yes, it's disappointing. It's not where we thought this Bills team would end the season. We obviously thought we were going to see this team in the Super Bowl. Let's be honest. We were all making plans of what we're going to do. Super Bowl Sunday with the Bills. Potentially Bills-Eagles. And now here we are, season over. Players are currently emptying out their locker rooms. But again, I'm disappointed because it's not what we expected. It's not how we expected the season to end. But I just can't forget the Bills team I grew up with. The Bills team that I suffered with every Sunday. The 1 o'clock Bills, because they never played another time. You know? Those were some rough years. J.P. Lossman, Trent Edwards, Kelly Holcomb, Jeff, who was the guy that started one? Someone will remember. Jeff, I want to say Jeff McNeil. That's a Mets player. Tuffel, right? Tuffel's also a Mets player. Someone will have to text me. He was famous for throwing the 99-yard pick six against the Chiefs. But, you know, sitting through all that, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who embraced Buffalo, loved Buffalo, gave us a few fun starts to the season, but again, 6-10, 4-12, 3-13. You know what I mean? It was almost two decades of that. It was my entire schooling. After elementary school, obviously. You know, the last time the Bills made the playoffs, I was in fifth grade. From middle school to 29 years old, the Bills never made the playoffs. Just put that in perspective. So, yes, I'm disappointed. Yes, it sucks the Bills aren't playing next week. But can you understand? Can you understand how I can't be completely down on this team 100%? And I know there's a lot of people in the audience that they have to at least have the same perspective I do. Maybe you're yelling at your radio, loser mentality. But all those years of being completely irrelevant. I mean, the biggest thing that put the Bills on the map before 2017 was Terrell Owens being signed. You know what I mean? I mean, that was the biggest thing. Hey, the Bills signed Terrell Owens. We treated that like a playoff victory. You know what I mean? And God bless Terrell Owens. He embraced Buffalo for a season. But we celebrated signing T.O. as if we could already start planning the Super Bowl parade. That was the most excited this fan base got, and it was the most relevant nationally because of a player they signed. So I'm sorry if I'm not, oh, they got to fire McDermott. Oh, they got to make all these changes. Sorry I'm not that guy. Yes, do they need to make adjustments? Do they have some big player questions to answer this offseason? They might even have some coaching questions to answer this season. But I'm sorry that I can't be so down. Oh, they got to get rid of McDermott. This team sucks. They got a clean house. Sorry I can't get on that bandwagon. I apologize. I'm not there yet. You know why? Because I remember the two decades before this. I remember debating between Trent Edwards and J.P. Lossman. Jeff Toole. Thank you, Texter. Jeff Toole. Oh, Nathan Peterman as well. Nathan Peterman, though, that I would say, if we're going to point to Sean McDermott mistakes, starting Nathan Peterman over Tyrod Taylor in San Diego was probably one of the biggest mistakes. But I'm sorry that I'm not going to get down on this team yet. Yeah, I don't feel as good about next season as I did this time last year about this season. You know what I mean? You're right. There are a lot more question marks over this team, I feel, than were a year ago today. But I still believe the Bills are a playoff team. I still believe they have a good core to build on. I don't think we're going to be 4-12 next or 4-13 next season. So, sorry if I'm not too hard on this team right now. I'm comparing it to 2010, 4-12. 2011, 6-10. 803-0930, star 930. Tell me what you're thinking. We'll start with, we're going to take these in order. So we're going to start with Fran in Allentown. Fran, good afternoon, or good morning.
Hi, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Fran. How are you feeling about this team?
Well, you know what? I really don't think the home advantage was a real good idea when everybody, you know, and the reason why, and I said this before, I work in like the mental health field, and I think, you know, you don't get over post-traumatic stress with some psychologists whistling zippity-doo up your butt in a week. I don't think it was so good to have it at the home. I think they had a lot to do with it, even though, you know, Hamlin is better. It's still that memory lingers, and you do have flashbacks, and you just, you know, I think it had a lot to do with the way they played. They played better last year against Kansas City, and it was just at 13 seconds, and everybody was doing the 13 seconds last year. But we played better. But this year, as soon as we hit home, you know, at our home stadium, we just kind of like slowed down, just missed it by seconds, millimeters, just weren't concentrating. And that's what the whole thing is. And I'm not saying they're like babies or anything. It happens to anybody. They're humans. It was a horrible thing that happened. And you don't get over it right away. So it'll take a while, but I don't think the home advantage did them any good. I really don't.
Fran, I think there's something to that. And a lot of people are saying, you know, it's very heartwarming, very uplifting how DeMar's doing, how he's doing better. But, you know, maybe having him go to the locker room before the game wasn't the best decision. And again, only the players know that. We can speculate. But, you know, Fran, there is something about, I mean, look at I forgot what year it was. But there was a year where the Bills played all but one of the playoff games on the road, ended up in the Super Bowl. So home field advantage isn't everything.
No, it isn't, especially when there was a traumatic event that happened there. You know, and so, you know, the crowd, the configuration, the area, it's just, that's what flashbacks are. You just, and you just like zone out for a minute, or a second or whatever. And it's going to take them a while to, it's going to take them, everybody, a while to get over that. So that's what I'm saying. The home advantage, I don't think was a good idea, and I don't really think Hamlin showing up was a good idea either.
Hey, Fran, appreciate the call. Fran in Allentown. I will say this. Played in Cincinnati probably wouldn't have been as good. It wouldn't have been good either, because that's where the event happened, and I'm sure the Bills players wouldn't want to be back on that field because it would remind them of the way they were feeling that night. And yeah, but Fran makes a point. I mean, it that was a traumatic experience that most football players will never experience, watching a player of their a teammate being revived on the field. Most players won't go through that. It is something that will take time to get over. Now, again, I'm not going to say that that's the reason they lost yesterday, because, again, I can point to every game after the Vikings game as the team, as a team that did not look the same as they did in September, right? The team that beat Cleveland didn't look like the same team that beat Pittsburgh, okay? The team that blew the lead to the Vikings didn't look like the same team that came back against Baltimore. There was a point in this season, long before the DeMar Hamlin incident, that this team stopped playing at that level. And I don't know what it was. Was it injuries? Was it something going on? I don't know. But there was a point in the season long before DeMar Hamlin's incident. And again, I love that he's doing better. My prayers still with him every day that he continues this recovery. But I think this team's struggles happened long before that game in Cincinnati. 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to Dan in Lewiston. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Joe. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Dan. How are you feeling this morning?
Good. You know something? Probably like everybody else. I mean, people are still bummed out. I'm bummed out, too, you know, but I got something else to say, but what you said about the beginning of the season and after that Minnesota game, they never played the same. I mean, they came in like gangbusters on prime time. They beat the defending champions and beat the pants off of them. And after that, a couple of really good games. But after that point in time, Minnesota, I thought to myself, this doesn't look like the championship team that we knew we saw, and it just they were hit and miss, and they, like you said, I don't know what happened to them, injuries, whatever. But before the DeMar thing happened, you know, football is it brings the community together, whether it's the Buffalo Bills or Cincinnati or my, doesn't matter, whatever. And I thought to myself, after the dust settled yesterday, I thought, you know something? Yeah, we're all disappointed. We thought we had higher expectations for this team. Could they have played better yesterday? Yeah. Did the weather have a factor? I don't think so, because they've been used to playing in this weather. But in retrospect, I thought, you know, how many other cities in this country would love to have an NFL team? And if the Pegulas would want to sell this team, which thank God they don't. If they wanted to sell this team, you know how many cities would be in line to take this team to their city?
Exactly.
That's why, in retrospect, we should be happy that we have an NFL franchise in this area that we can all root for. Good times, bad times, obviously. And you hit the nail on the head, but you're a little older than you, I will say that. But, you know, we went through that big, big drought of never making the playoffs. And, you know, after the Super Bowl run 4 years, we kind of went in the doldrums after that. And we had maybe a few good seasons, but not really the greatest. But win or lose, we still stuck behind our Bills, you know that? And I think everybody thinks to themselves, we are fortunate to have that NFL team in our area. And like I said, if another city stepped in and say, hey, move them here, we're going to build a beautiful closed dome and everything else, and okay, we'll move them. But luckily it doesn't happen. And like I said, the people, and I know the people do, and the frustrations have set in, but like I said, we should all be thankful that we have that NFL franchise in our area.
I feel the same. I'm so happy you said that. Thank you so much for the call, Dan in Lewiston. He's right. You know, so many people want to talk about all the Bills. Just let them leave. I remember during the playoff drought, when Ralph owned the team, and there were the rumors that once Ralph passed, the team would be leaving Buffalo as well. And after every 6-10 season, 4-12 season, just let them pack up and leave. There is one thing to be thankful for, and I'm so glad Dan said that. Look at the way this community, look at the way Western New York rallies around this team. How this team brings Buffalo together. You know, we had a traumatic incident with DeMar Hamlin in Cincinnati. Look how that brought everyone together. And, you know, the money that went to his foundation and the updates people were, you know, every day we were being more and more uplifting news and heartwarming news every day that DeMar was doing better. And, you know, that really brought us together. This team, this playoff run has brought us together. Now, no offense to the Buffalo Sabres. I love the Sabres, and you know what? Their playoff runs bring us together as well. But there is a demand for NFL franchises in the United States of America. And there's only 32 franchises. And we can say in Buffalo, New York, Little Buffalo, New York, Market 58, Buffalo, New York, we have an NFL franchise. That is something to be proud of. You know, you can say what you want about the NFL. You can say what you want about sports. Maybe you like to, you know, go for walks in the park instead of watching the Bills on Sunday, and that's fine. But you can't take away how important having an NFL franchise is for business, for the community itself, for jobs. You know, I mean, this having the Bills is so, in my opinion, so important. And again, you can watch zero football, but realize how important the Buffalo Bills are to Western New York and how fortunate we are to have this team. Because Dan's right. If Terry Pegula tomorrow, because again, the stadium deal is, you know, not 100% done. If Terry Pegula tomorrow said, you know what? I'm sick of these Buffalo fans. I'm going to go somewhere else. Do you realize the cities that would have their hands up ready for this team? San Antonio, Austin, those are just two in Texas. San Diego might want a team back. Maybe they try. St. Louis might want another stab at an NFL team. Orlando. they'd have to build a new stadium because that stadium's awful. But Orlando, just think of the cities that would have their hands up ready for the ready for an NFL franchise. So again, you can have your problems with the NFL. You can have your problems with sports. Maybe you're not a sports fan. Maybe you're not a football fan. But just think. Market 58, Buffalo, New York, has an NFL team. Richmond, Virginia, which is bigger than Buffalo, you don't think they'd want an NFL team? So every time you say, just let them pack up, let them move, just think about what you're saying. And think about what the hit that would be to Buffalo. Really, just think about it. Frank in Williamsville will end out this hour. Frank, thanks for hanging on.
Joe, how many businesses in Buffalo are worth $1 billion?
Not many.
That's what the Bills are worth. Or more. Anyone who's talking about the Bills negatively today is crazy. They're just crazy. You think back how, like you were talking about the years where we had nothing going on. We were lucky if we had a shot at the playoffs at Thanksgiving time or Halloween time. They're out of it so fast. You cannot detract from what this management team has done here. These two guys, this general manager and our manager, unbelievable what they've done to get the playoffs 4 times in a row. It's incredible. And if you're complaining about that, you're crazy. You got to shake yourself. Take a look around. I mean, Joe, it's not one thing that did the Bills in yesterday. It's just a culmination of things. But like the one caller said, I think PTSD or whatever you want to call it is a part of the problem. It's what happened here. Joe, what were they saying 2 weeks ago? This game doesn't mean anything. This football means nothing now, right? So they're going to go from that to, like, we're one game away from the AFC champ. We got to win this game. Let's go. I mean, it takes a toll on people. There's no way you can be the same before that happened and then after that happened. Into it in the snowstorms and the shooting. And I mean, it's just been a crazy year. Joe, you're a runner, right? Have you ever run the same route you always run and you just don't have it? You just can't get it going?
Oh, yeah.
You just don't have it that day, right? And yesterday, it was a bad matchup for the Bills. It's physically, player for player, the Bills got manhandled yesterday. In football, when you get manhandled like that, what are you going to do about it? It's an action. What kind of adjustments can you make? When the guy who's standing across you on the scrimmage line is kicking your butt. So I'm going to try harder. I'm going to kick his butt on the next play. And he pushed you down again. After a while, you're like, I can't beat that guy.
Yep.
That's basically what happened yesterday. I think it was just a bad day, culmination of a lot of bad things. Allen's going to be fine. I still wouldn't trade Josh Allen for anybody in the league. I mean,
yeah.
I stop complaining and realize what you have, people.
Hey, Frank, I'm glad we're on the same page. I feel the exact same way. This is a team that we would be begging for 10 years ago.
Right. And if you think about the season, right? They beat the Rams, right? When they beat the Rams in the first, well, we're going to the Super Bowl this year, right?
Yeah.
And Joe, they only lost. They lost 3 games.
Yeah, they did.
They lost 3 games this year, even with all the stuff that's happened. The Minnesota debacle and all the rest of it, too, right? And you know what, Joe? Nobody wins in every game 25-0 in the NFL. Nobody.
That's right. I mean,
they all have games like this. Kansas City had a game like this.
The Chiefs lost to the Colts.
The Bengals lost to the Ravens and to the Browns. That's the Browns.
Yeah. Hey, Frank, we got to get to a break. I appreciate the call, man. Frank in Williamsville opens the line for you. 803-0930, star 930. Where does this rank in disappointing Buffalo sports seasons? I say it's right there with the 06-07 Sabres. How about you? 803-0930, star 930. How you feeling this morning, Buffalo? Talking with you after this. Beamer in for Bella Via here on News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, I understand it's a letdown day. Obviously, I am upset. You know, I was just talking during the break. Going into the game yesterday, I was obviously feeling very confident. Had my flight booked, had my tickets to Atlanta. I was excited. I was confident. But very quickly in that game, I realized they're outmatched. I mean, this Bills team is outmatched. I understand we're all in a bad mood today. Can we not take it out on each other? Here's the text. You are such a homer, it's pathetic. Okay, yeah. Guess what? I've lived in Buffalo most of my life. I am a diehard Bills fan. I've had season tickets most of the last 15 years. So yeah, you're right. I am a homer. Maybe it is pathetic. Sorry you feel that way. I am on a Buffalo talk station, so I would think that's what you would expect. Can this team improve in ways? Of course they can. Of course they can. I have not once in the last hour and 10 minutes said anything short of this team needs to improve. All I'm saying is, do we have to be all negative all the time? There is a positive to, hey, we have a relevant football team in Buffalo. I'm sorry, I'm not. You can say the meanest things you want on the text board. It's not going to change my mind. Yes, I'm upset of the loss. Yes, this isn't the team I thought we were going to get. I thought we were going to be talking about a team that maybe fell short in the AFC Championship, maybe fell short in the Super Bowl. I didn't think they'd be out against the Bengals. But they are. And yeah, it's disappointing. Like I said, in my sports experience, it ranks right there with the 06-07 Sabres. But I'm sorry that I found a little bit of a positive. I apologize. Maybe it's not what you want to hear this day. But yeah, I have found a little bit of a positive. I would much rather be the team that gets the divisional round and loses. Now, again, come back in 5 years, maybe I don't feel this way. But it's going to take more than, you know, 4 playoff appearances for me to say, oh, I'm sick of this. You know, I don't think the Bills have gotten to the point of the Cowboys yet. 2 decades not making the playoffs, this is pretty good. Yeah, it hurts right now. It sucks right now because of how the team's built. But I'd much rather this than go back to what I grew up with. Literally what I grew up with. Let's go to Terry in Texas. Terry, how are you digesting that loss today?
I'm not even mad, and to be quite honest with you, I'm not even surprised. I wanted to start out with 2 things. First of all, Frank seems like a really nice guy. I thought he had a horrible take, but it's his opinion. It is what it is. I saw this movie the other day, and there's a real quick quote from it. And I'm paraphrasing because I don't know it verbatim, but the guy said, you know, why do you love Christmas? Why do you love cool summer nights? You know, why do you love milkshakes? You don't know. You just do, you know. And I was like, and he was making a point in reference to Whataburger, which I'm not sure, you know, if you're familiar with that restaurant in Texas. But anyway, I told my wife, I go, man, that's how I feel about the Bills. Like, sometimes I don't know why I love this team. I just do. It's just in me. You know what I mean? It's just in me. I love the Bills. That being said, as you know, I dabble from time to time. And, you know, looking at spreads and things like that. And I never really bet on the Bills unless I'm sure. They have got me a couple times in the playoffs, so I wanted to make sure that I did my due diligence this year. And going into this game, had I not been a Bills fan, I would have taken the Bengals. And it comes down to a couple simple things. One, Josh Allen has not been that great. I mean, he's been good enough to overcome his mistakes, but he's coughing up the ball, like, I think, number one in the league. The defense isn't there. The secondary's shoddy at best. I don't know what happened to the defensive line, but the offensive line for Cincinnati, you know, the tackles that they were missing, or the guards or whatever they were, those dudes weren't even ranked that high in the NFL as, like, good tackles. They were actually pretty low. So losing them may have actually been beneficial, because the guys that came behind them are going to play even harder than those dudes were at their best. All that being said, again, I wasn't surprised by the outcome. I thought it would be a little closer. I was thinking more like 33-30 until I saw the weather. When I saw the weather at kickoff, I was like, that's going to be a problem for sure. But it should have been just as an advantage to the Bills as it would have been for the Bengals. But I honestly didn't think that they were going to win the game. And if they did, I would have been surprised. I would have been happy. But you know what? I'm glad that they lost, and this is why. Because I would rather them lose now than go and even, let's say they even go to Kansas City, and let's say they even go to Super Bowl in a perfect world. That team is not prepared to go up against the 49ers or the Eagles. One of those two teams is going to go to the Super Bowl. And they're not ready for that. The defense is nowhere close to what they have, and the offense isn't either. You can't rely on Diggs. Allen can't run 50 yards up the field every time something isn't working out. The backs are okay. James Cook is okay. Motor is okay. And I'm a big Motor fan. I really am. But he's not that dude. Gabe Davis isn't that dude. Dawson Knox can be that dude, but he's probably going to be that dude for somebody else because I don't think he'll be in Buffalo. And if you're going to let that 13 seconds, if you couldn't pull it out then with that team, there's no way they were going to do it with this team because I thought that team was better than this team is. And Josh Allen was playing heck of a lot better that year than he did this year. I mean, he got lucky yesterday a couple of times where it should have been turnovers and it wasn't, you know. I did get to the point, don't get me wrong, again, I love the Bills. Halfway through the third quarter, I started doing chores around my house that didn't even need to be done because I could feel myself getting upset. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let this affect me emotionally, even though it does. You know what I'm saying? It does. But I was like, I'm not, because this is to be expected for now, not because of a Bills curse or some Buffalo thing. It's because the team wasn't good enough and they missed opportunities to gain access to better players than what they have right now. I still thought they should have went after McCaffrey. I didn't think the offense, it can't just be Allen and Diggs. I was listening to radio shows 3 days ago where they were talking about how Diggs was going to get shut out of this game. I mean, it was like there to see. I think this whole dream story with DeMar Hamlin and God bless him and his family, and of course I'm grateful to see that he made it through. He's bigger, a human being is bigger than this game will ever be. But at the end of the day, on paper and on the field apparently, the Bengals were the better team and they were more motivated. I think one of the things that the Bills lack is that aggressive instinct, like that attack instinct, like we're going to put our boot on your throat and make sure this game is won before we walk away. And they haven't been doing that this year. I think there's some games that they won that they could have easily lost. They almost lost to a third-string quarterback nobody ever heard of.
Yep.
You know, hey, the other day they got lucky with that.
You know, Terry, you mentioned the running back, and this is a team, this has been a problem with this team now for three seasons, is they do not have a solid number one running back. I don't believe James Cook is the answer, and I don't think Devin Singletary is the answer. They are lacking that threat out of the backfield, and as long as you don't have that, defenses know where you're going to go. Defenses know, Josh Allen, it's more likely Josh Allen's going to run the ball than Devin Singletary. And if he does, we'll get him within 2 yards.
You know what else, though, I've noticed this. I don't know if this is just my imagination, but I think that, you know, they didn't go after backs because they're like, well, we got Josh Allen. And then at some point it became, hey, this is getting a little dangerous. Allen, you got to try to stay back in the pocket. And that's where you start to see the interceptions and the sloppy throws because he's staying in the pocket instead of going with his gut instinct and just running. You know, the season before, you know, he'd just take off. If he didn't see it, he was gone, and he'd make something out of it. Now it's like he's hanging back there. He's getting strip sacked. He's throwing stupid throws. Like, he's going backwards, you know what I mean, instead of moving forward. Don't get me wrong. He still makes incredible throws. I think he's a great quarterback, and he plays with a tremendous amount of heart. You can see it on his face. But he does do stupid things with the ball. And in this level, right now, against these teams that are left, the Chiefs and the Bengals and the Bills, I mean, I'd make an argument that the Jaguars might have even walked into Buffalo and beat them because they play harder, they play tougher, they got more weapons, and they play with that instinct to fight, and I think the Bills lack that. It's almost like they feel bad for winning games, and they step back. Some of the games, like you mentioned the Rams game, the Rams suck. Everybody beat the Rams this year, you know what I mean? And to rely on Von Miller, don't get me wrong, he's a great dude and everything, but the dude is older. He probably was going to be prone to injury. I mean, you can't just put it on one player and expect that dude to win. It's got to be everybody or nobody's going to win at all. You know, I understand Dick's frustration because it's a lot to keep going, but, you know, it's such of a waste of a season. Everything you did to get this far and then you get stomped out on national television, like, It is what it is, man. They were just the better team. They got the better players, and they made the smarter coaching decisions. And at the end of the day, that's what it boils down to. I don't think it has anything to do with anything that's going on in the outside world. These dudes are professionals. They're going there to win a game. And the better they play, the more money they make for their family. And let's be honest, you know, people are concerned more for their family at the end of the day than anything else. And these dudes want to leave a legacy and have a successful NFL career, right, not just be some rutless, you know, just stagnant in Buffalo going to the divisional and losing every single year. That's not good enough. It's not. It call it what you will, but it's not good enough. You know what I mean? You got to do better. If you're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. No, hey, obviously, Terry, I'm disappointed. I did think this team was going to go further. You know, but I also do like it in the perspective of this is a team that missed the playoffs for 17 straight seasons. No. Are they supposed to go further? Yes, they're built to go further. However, I am going to take a step back and say at least we're not 6-10. At least we're not 4-12 because those years sucked being irrelevant. I do appreciate being a relevant team, and I hope we can build on this. But I think it's nice to look at it from both angles.
No, it's fun to watch. I told my wife yesterday, I said, you know what? It was a fun season. Everything was fun. They made Sundays better. Mondays were brighter when they won and all that stuff. All that aside, but when you get into the playoffs like right now, I think you got to take a realistic step back, forget you're a Bills fan for a moment, and you can't just be looking for miracles, you know what I mean? You can't just be hoping that the team plays well on a dream or because something happened to a player on the field. Things happen to players on the field all the time. Not to that extent, don't get me wrong. They do happen, and teams, they got to move forward. It's still a business, and it's still, you know, something that, you know, there's money to – I'm trying to be cautious how I say this. Look, the idea of the NFL is to win the Super Bowl. That, at the end of the day, that's it. It's not to make it to the playoffs. It's not to make it – that's a step. But we've already been there, what, 2-3 times already? We're regressing rather than progressing. We're in the same spot we were last year. And I think the team was worse, again, than last year's team was. And it sucks because it's like a wasted season. I know you're probably getting short on time with me, but I want to make a point, and it pains me to say this, bro. It pains me to say this. I hate having to say this, but I'm going to say it. The Bills are the AFC version of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh.
They really are. They get into the playoffs, and they choke. They play like garbage. They figure out a way. Dude, you want to make fun of Dak Prescott and his numbers, throwing interceptions and everything? Josh Allen ain't much better, man, with that ball. He may have the stats to back up, you know, that he's a better quarterback, but he's not much more careful with that ball than Dak Prescott is. And the Cowboys, they had every reason to win that game yesterday,
yep,
and they messed it off. They're even worse, really, than Buffalo is. But on the same token, these teams are built to succeed. They get to the level where they're trying to be, and then for whatever reason, they just can't. They're so close, but like one sandwich short of a picnic or so. Use whatever metaphor you want.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, Terry, you know, as much as it's painful to hear you say that, right now they haven't shown that you're wrong. You know, as much as it sucks to hear them compare it to the Cowboys, who, I mean, the whole joke with the Cowboys is they can't do anything in the playoffs, the Bills haven't proven you wrong yet.
I mean, it's the truth, and obviously a lot of people here. My wife's a Bills fan. She was just upset as I was yesterday that they lost and everything. It still takes a toll, whether you're looking at it from a statistical standpoint or not. It still takes a toll, so she was upset. I got to the point, I was like, let's watch the end of the game. I want to see if they do anything special or whatever. See what the fans do, if they cheer them off the field or anything. I still thought it was a great season. I don't want to sound – dude, I've been a Bills fan since before you were alive, I'm pretty sure. So I don't want anybody in the audience to misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm just saying that if you looked at it analytically and you forget about all the fairy tales and all this extra stuff, it looked on paper like the Bengals were going to win. There's no reason. Vegas pulled a whoop-de-doo on everybody. There's no reason the Bengals should have been 5.5-point underdogs yesterday.
That is
none.
True. That is true.
If anything, they should either been 3-point favorites or 3-point underdogs just because the Bills were at home.
Yep.
But they just had a more lethal team, man. These dudes, they got some of the best receivers in the game. They got one of the best quarterbacks in the game. And this dude, you know, for real, he's not just some rookie, man. You know, everybody wants to take Josh Allen seriously because of how he came along. Look, this dude's doing the same thing, and he's already made it to a Super Bowl. You know, the Bengals sucked a couple years ago. They're obviously making some decisions. I think Brandon Bean seems like a great general manager. I have no idea what that job entails. And he's made some smart decisions, but I don't think he's made all the smart decisions. You know what I mean? You need a little bit of luck, but you also got to go after some dudes that are going to get out there and battle. And I'm sure the players want to get out there and fight, but it seems to me like our cornerbacks ain't out there, you know, talking junk. Tre'Davious White looked scared yesterday, man. You know what I mean? Like the cornerbacks at the secondary, half of that defense yesterday looked like, except for Matt Milano, that dude's a savage. I love that dude. But the whole team, it looked like they were just like, oh, my God, they didn't score on that play. They only got 9 yards. Thank God. You know what I mean? It was like they were just happy that a touchdown. Like, they looked nervous, man. They looked scared. They looked like you know, like a smaller dude going up against a bigger dude in a bar fight. And the little dude knows he's going to lose. But he's like, I'm going to give it my shot. You know what I mean? Yep. And it just wasn't going to be enough. It just wasn't going to be enough. And they need to get some people out there that will fire them dudes up. And I'm talking coaching staff as well that's going to get in these dudes' faces and say, hey, man, make a play. You know what I mean? Make a play. Tre'Davious White out there getting bullied. I don't know if he'll ever be the same player. Micah Hyde, we sure could have used him, but it wouldn't have been enough. Even if Hyde was out there, it wouldn't have been enough. Maybe if Von Miller was out there, it would have slowed down that offense some.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, the offense is still suspect to me. And I've said this weeks ago about this team. They're suspect. And lastly, I guess I told my wife, I was like, I'm not saying who's going to win because I don't know and I'm not going to talk a lot of crap. I was like, before Hamlin got injured or before he had that medical emergency on the field, it wasn't looking very good for the Bills.
No, it wasn't.
It looked like the Bengals, it looked like they were going to take off on him. And I was like, based off of that, that scares me because they moved that ball really quickly against the Bills that first time. And they did the same exact thing this time. You know? Same exact thing.
Terry, well said. Appreciate the call, man. Terry in Texas, always always good to get your Bills insight. Have a good one, Terry. We'll talk soon. Opens the line for you, 803-0930, *930. That is the number. We'll do one more segment on the Bills and then get to other things like theaters closing and natural gas being banned. Yeah, we'll talk about all that and much, much more. It is Beamer in for Bella Via. Let me know, 803-0930, *930. Where does this season rank in Buffalo sports heartbreaks? And how are you feeling today? How are you feeling about the Bills? The Bills must do blank in 2023. Let me know. Beamer in for Bella Via. We got Jimmy Stagliano here as well on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome back. It is Beamer in for Bella Via here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Asking for your response to the game yesterday, your emotions from the game yesterday, and where does this rank in Buffalo sports disappointments. Excuse me, sorry. 803-0930, *930. Let's get a look from the other side of the field. Yes, a Bengals fan's calling in. Chris in Fort Erie. Chris, you got to be happy this morning.
Jim, I am. 48 years. Jim. Oh, sorry, Joe. Yes, 48 years a Bengals fan. And yes, I'm happy. And did I see that coming, that outcome coming? No. Did I think we could win the game? Yes. But I did not think we would muscle you around the field the way we did. Now, I think that Bills fans should just take a deep breath this morning because Bengals fans and Bills fans are very synergetic. We have been through a lot of pain. But it's not always the Holy Grail, which is the Vince Lombardi trophy. It's not always the Holy Grail. It's the pain that you go through to get to the Holy Grail. And I know, and you guys have been through a lot of pain and we've been through a lot of pain, but I also wanted to say there was a lot of Bengals fans at the game yesterday and the Bills fans treated them with respect. They treated them with dignity and they did not trash them when the Bills won the game. And that's what makes Bills fans, the Bills Mafia, so good. They love their team, but they're compassionate, and they, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. And I have to say, Chris, the Bengal fans were awesome yesterday. You know, it was, I had a ton of Bengal fans around me. None of them were, you know, getting in our face every time they scored. They were doing their chant, and they had every right to. They were, you know, they were controlling the game. But they were great fans. We, you know, we shook their hand on the way out and said, hey, you know, thanks for coming by. Have fun tonight. Enjoy the win. So yeah, I have to say there was a lot of love shown between the two fan bases. You didn't see any of the yelling back and forth,
which I'm proud of. And now the good news is the Bills fans actually have another team to cheer for, you know, a little bit. Because, I mean, damn it, you guys want us to beat Kansas City? Of course you want us to beat Kansas City. Yeah, I mean, and listen, your team is a damn good football team. That's a good football team you guys have there. And you guys will be back. Josh Allen is young. And you guys will build around him and some of the great players you already have on that team. So don't be disheartened this morning. I mean, I know you are, but the light, you know, the sun came up. You know, you still have your kids and family. And I wish Buffalo nothing but the best going forward in the future.
Hey, good luck to the Bengals next week. And then most likely going to have to take on an Eagles team that's really, really good. But Chris, hey, I agree with you. Josh Allen's young. This team's young. But the problem is right now in the AFC, it is Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Herbert, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, this is going to be a really tough conference for the next decade.
Which is good.
Yes. Yes. Those are all positives. Those are all positives. Hey, man, I appreciate it. Enjoy the win, man. Chris in Fort Erie, 48-year long Bengals fan. And I do have to say that, you know, you saw, because we've been to games. We've all been to games where the opposing fan base or the other fan base can be disrespectful. Hey, I've been known to maybe not be the nicest fan, not anytime recently, but in the past, you know, young Joe Beamer was not the most mature. But I have to say, at the stadium yesterday, all nice. You saw Bengals, Bills fans talking with each other, laughing, even high-fiving on the way out of the stadium. You know, like I said, ton of Bengal fans around me. No one was getting in our face. No one was saying, oh, look at that, Joe Burrow, so much better. No, they were cheering their team on, which they're allowed to do. And they were very respectful. And I have to say, I was really proud to be a Bills fan, even, you know, given the game. I was very proud to be a Bills fan because it was a very mutual respect for both fan bases. And you didn't see anyone running in someone's face. You know, that would have been embarrassing. So I have to say, I was really proud to be a Bills fan in the way the fans were treating the other fans. I thought it was something I say a lot. I thought it was a beautiful thing. And hopefully we see more of that in the coming years, because I think we're going to see a lot of the Bengals in the coming years, because they're going to keep winning their division. We're going to keep winning our division, most likely. So I think we're going to be playing a lot of Cincinnati Bills games in the coming seasons. You know, looking at that schedule next year, if you're wondering, the Bills play in Cincinnati again next year. So if you're wondering when these teams will meet again, we'll see the schedule in May, but they do play in Cincy again. That might be another road trip. You know, and hey, I know we're just still getting, we're still getting over this loss. Obviously it's 11:41 the morning after, but you know, looking forward to next season, you've got, I hate to say this because you never know what can happen in the off season, but you've got a very favorable schedule. You do. You have a favorable schedule. You got some really good home games. The Jaguars coming to town. The Cowboys coming to town. The Buccaneers coming to town. Someone's going to be played out in London, but I don't think it's going to be any of those three games. So a lot to look forward to. And, you know, mark them on your calendar now. The Bengals and the Chiefs on the road next year. And the Chargers on the road next year. And the Eagles on the road. I mean, those are four tough road games next year. So you've got some easier home games, but you've got a tough road schedule going to Philly, going to Cincy, going to Kansas City, going back to Los Angeles to play the Chargers this time. It's definitely, it's going to be a tough schedule. And like I said, if I had looked at that schedule a year ago today after the 13 seconds, I would say, all right, bring it. I'm ready to go. We'll have to see what happens this offseason because this ending, and again, it's so much more than this game. You know, I'm going to say it again if you're just joining us. For me, this team, yes, they won every game after the Vikings game, but there was something different about this team after that Vikings game. They were not playing the same. You know, it wasn't the 38-3, the 47-10. They were playing sub-500 teams or 500 teams very closely. And that's concerning. You know, yes, they were winning. On paper, they're wins, right? They finished second place in the AFC. But there was just something off about this team for the last 2 months of the season. So obviously, hey, it's a off-season full of questions. And as we move on, we'll get the answer to those questions. We do have still 2 weeks of playoffs ready to go. And as a football fan, I'm excited to watch the games. It kind of sucks that I'm not going to be at one of the games like was originally planned. But, you know, hey, you got the AFC Championship next week, a rematch, Kansas City-Cincinnati. Hopefully that won't be an ongoing trend. Hopefully the Bills can make their way back. You know, they were, a lot of people forget, they were in the AFC Championship game during the COVID year. And then back-to-back division losses these last two seasons. But, you know, hopefully we're not going to see Kansas City. I know Chris would like that. Hopefully it's not going to be Kansas City, Cincinnati for the next 4 or 5 seasons. Hopefully Buffalo can make their way back to that game. But you got a week of good games. You're going to have that, and then you're going to have the NFC Championship. And hey, it's not the Bills, but that Brock Purdy story is an awesome story. The first ever Mr. Irrelevant, which if you're wondering, Joe, who the hell is Mr. Irrelevant? Mr. Irrelevant, you might be saying, Joe, that's you, the person on the radio. Mr. Irrelevant is the last pick of the draft. They call him Mr. Irrelevant. Well, that person was Brock Purdy. He was the third string quarterback for the Niners. Trey Lance goes down. Jimmy G goes down. Now Brock Purdy, the starting quarterback, he has taken the team to the NFC Championship game. What a great story. And then you have Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, who was at Alabama, got benched for Tua, goes to Oklahoma, gets them into the playoff, now has really gone to Philadelphia, and Philadelphia has become one of the best teams in football. So there's some great storylines to follow. It really sucks that we're not part of it anymore. But again, as disappointing as this is, you know, they did not get the goal. The goal was the Super Bowl. Just like in 2006, 2007 for the Buffalo Sabres, the goal was the Stanley Cup. All the experts said, oh, the Sabres are going to the Stanley Cup. The Bills are going to the Super Bowl. Both times, the teams did not get to where they were predicted to go. So it's a disappointment. It is a disappointing season. But as we've illustrated over the last 2 hours, they're in the playoffs. This isn't... If you would have told me in the middle of that 17-year playoff stretch that the Bills are going to get to the playoffs and lose in the divisional round 2 years in a row, they're going to go to the playoffs 5 of 6 years, but not go to the Super Bowl, I'd say, you crazy? I don't care. That's amazing. So I like to put it in that perspective. Obviously, when you have a team built for the Super Bowl, when the experts say you should be in the Super Bowl, it's disappointing, right? And it's difficult to process. But with everything this fan base went through for 17 years, I think we can at least be happy that, hey, we have a relevant team. And before we get off this topic, I do want to say one more thing. You know, the Bills weren't able to go all the way on the field, but we are really, really fortunate to have this football team, this group of players, this group of alumni players in Buffalo. With the tragedies that hit Buffalo, the Bills franchise is always here. Look in May. You had the racist shooting at Tops. Who showed up? Current and former Bills players. They were there. They were there when the community needed them. We were getting a ton of snow in the South Towns. They moved the game to Detroit. The Bills were that distraction. Same thing when we had the blizzard of 22. the Bills were that distraction. And we saw everyone come together when DeMar Hamlin had his medical emergency in Cincinnati. So, yeah, it's not what we wanted from this team. It's not the ending that we wanted. But I'm, like I said, I'm thankful to be a Bills fan. I'm thankful we have the Buffalo Bills in Western New York. And look at the times the community needed them. Most importantly, when the community needed them in May, the Bills were there. The Bills were there helping the community, being there for the city of Buffalo. And, you know, I don't care how poorly they played yesterday. I don't care they didn't make the Super Bowl. We are very fortunate to have this franchise. We are very fortunate to have this group of people that not only play for Buffalo, but were here. They didn't need to be here. You know, it wasn't mandatory for them to be here. They were here because they care. And they were here in any way the community needed them. And that, for me, was more important than anything they can do on the field. When they showed up in May, after the racist shooting at Tops, when the former players showed up, again, when the community needed them, that, to me, speaks louder than anything you can do on the field. So I know we're all disappointed today, and we'll be disappointed for a while. And, you know, next season's really just going to feel like nothing until the playoffs, because really, I'll say it, I'm going to wait a year now for a divisional playoff. I hope we have. But when you look at what this team does for Western New York, for the community, for the region, again, that is more important than anything to me. And I will always be a proud Buffalo Bills fan. And I will always be thankful for everything they've done. So I just want to leave on that note. But yeah, a disappointing game yesterday, another divisional exit, and we'll see what happens. We'll see where the Bills do in the offseason. And you know what? I would be just fine if the Bills weren't the favorites next season. I would be just fine, because it seems like Buffalo sports teams play better when they're the underdog. So I'll be just fine with people not thinking the Bills will make the AFC Championship. I'm fine with that. Please, Vegas, have us like fifth likely to make the Super Bowl. I think we'll play a little better. That's my plea to Vegas. I'll go down to the Bet 1520 and see if they can arrange something for me. So we'll obviously be talking about the offseason. Obviously, down our friends at WGR down the dial, they've got this covered all day on Football Monday. And I appreciate your calls. I appreciate the text. And I even understand, you know, some of the meaner texts. I get it. It's a disappointing day. Believe me, I'm not talking about what I thought I'd be talking about today. I really thought I'd be talking about a trip to Atlanta and making more fun about my flight from Buffalo to Denver, Denver to Atlanta. But you know what? Maybe another time. So, 803-0930, star 930 will be the number to get on. Next segment, I want to talk about a few things. We've got 2 hours left, and there's a few things I want to talk about. The first is, now I don't want this to become a toxic discussion. I don't want this to become a left versus right thing. Because the thing I want to talk about in the noon hour is, what is the worst thing of politics? What's the worst thing of politics? In my opinion, the worst thing of politics is politicians that can't be honest, right? And when you can't get an answer out of a politician, and it seems like that's what we have going on in New York State when it comes to the natural gas ban. We're being told that it's being blown out of proportion by the media. Where have you heard that before? That, you know, we're not going to take your stoves away from you. By the way, I've never said that someone's going to take your stove away from you. I think they're hearing different things. Because I have not heard one person claim that New York State's going to take your stove away from you. I believe the information we've passed on is that they are going to stop the sale of gas-powered stoves in 2030. But there are some logistical reasons why right now that's just not possible. And, you know, I thought Senator Gallivan said it perfectly yesterday. Obviously, everyone, you know, you always have one side of the aisle claiming that, you know, they don't care about the earth, they don't care about the environment, all this stuff. Most people want to be more efficient. And most people would, hey, if they can find a way to do things more efficiently, they'll jump on board. But when you don't have the power grid to support the extra stress this would bring, you've got to be able to answer those questions. I mean, and this isn't a left versus right thing. Listen, yesterday, I had a Democrat on at 10:30 on Hardline, Democrat Tim Myers. He's the majority leader in the Erie County Legislature. He said, right now, the grid's not built to back anything like this up, to put the extra stress on the electric grid. We're just not there in New York State. So this isn't party politics. We don't have to make everything party politics. But this is something that is, as you heard yesterday on Hardline, being recommended in Albany, seems to have support in Albany. But when you ask the governor about it, you're not getting a straight answer. I would have so much more, I would have so much less to talk about if the governor just said, yeah, that's my plan. We're going to stop natural gas on 2025 new builds, 2028 for big builds. In 2030, you can no longer buy gas-powered appliances. Just be honest. Just be honest with the state of New York. The problem is we don't have the grid to back that up. And that's not coming from Joe Beamer. I don't know much about the electrical grid, okay? I'll tell you right now. I drive by it often when I'm doing my deliveries. I don't know much about it. But the experts are saying we don't have the electric grid to back this up. That should make anyone want to pause. It seems like in politics, we have our politicians that just want to get the win, right? Hey, look, I did what you told me to. I did what the environmentalists said was the best thing to do. Look at me. Applaud me. But can't we just use some common sense? Can't we just say, you know, this is our idea. We just don't have the technology right now to back it up. We don't have the grid to back it up. It seems, and again, I'm not saying this is just a one-party thing or the other. This is both parties. It seems like just saying the flat-out honest truth is difficult for a lot of our politicians. Just saying the truth. Yes, this is what I want to do, and this is what we're going to do. Why is that so hard? 803-0930, star 930. We're going to play some clips back of Governor Hochul talking about this when we come back. But I'd like your thoughts on a natural gas ban. And I'd love someone out there that thinks the natural gas ban is a great idea. Call in. Again, this next hour, just like every hour, just like every show, is open to all opinions. It should not be dominated by my opinion. 803-0930, star 930. Let me know what you feel. Let me know what you're thinking. Like I said, when we come back, we'll play some clips from Governor Kathy Hochul here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.